All right. Thank you, Brother Matthew. Good to see each one of you back this afternoon. Appreciate so much you being here. And certainly appreciate the good service this morning. Lord certainly blessed us with a good service and a big surprise when the Tonys came walking in. But good to have them back. Good to see you back this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 17. Started last week a study, or not last week, week before last. Last week was anniversary Sunday, but week before last we started a study on the life of the prophet Elijah. And so I want to continue that this evening. And so 1 Kings, if you would please, in chapter 17. I remember when I was a kid, one of my favorite TV shows was starring this fella right here. Actually, that was me many years ago. But you all recognize the picture. Superman, of course, had the big red S on the chest, you know, and remember how it opened up, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, right? Able to leap a building with a single bound, you know. Had all of these supernatural powers, had the X-ray vision thing going, had those laser eyes, you know, he could burn stuff up just looking at it. And in fact, if there was no kryptonite around, he could do anything, right? He could pretty much do anything. Now, I realize that's sort of kid stuff. But many times that same kind of mentality carries over into our spiritual life. Because here's what's happening. Many times we tend to put our heroes on a pedestal. Right? That right there is me. That's Pastor Tocklip. Pastor Moore is gone. We don't know who we're going to put there, okay? But we tend to put our heroes on a pedestal, right? We tend to do that. And it's a very human thing to do. It's a very natural thing to do, to put our heroes up on a pedestal. And it's very easy, especially to do that, when it comes to the great heroes of the Bible. And Elijah certainly fits in that category, doesn't he? Elijah certainly fits in that category. Remember last time we saw Elijah, as we were introduced to him, we saw how that he was a man who had a godly heritage. We saw how that he was a man who had a heart that was faithful to God. We saw how that Elijah was a man who had a burning zeal for God. As much as he loved his nation, more than that, he loved his God. And so therefore he was willing to pray that God's judgments might come on his nation in order that his God might be glorified. By the way, that's the same kind of priority we ought to have. Right. Same kind of priority we ought to have. But the thing I want you to understand is simply this. Elijah was no Superman. Okay? He was no Superman. In fact, the Bible says, over in the book of James, chapter 5, and verse number 17, Elias. Now, that's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Elijah. Okay? So it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah was a man who was just a man. He had the same weaknesses that you and I have. He had the same temptations you and I have. He had the same faults. He was made out of the same kind of dirt that we're made out of. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. So Elijah was not born what we might call a super saint. Okay? He was not born a super saint. And even after he was called to be a prophet, he still had to go through a process of growing. He had to go through a process of learning. He had to go through a process of maturing in his relationship with God. And we're going to see how that even though Elijah was a man who experienced many great spiritual successes in his life and in his ministry, he was also a man who faced some miserable failures, and we're going to deal with that in the weeks to come. He was a man with the same kind of passions that you and I have. But before we begin, let me set the background for you before we begin looking at our message for tonight. You remember we saw last time how that Elijah just sort of suddenly appears on the scene. And the first time we find him mentioned, he's actually standing in the throne room of King Ahab, declaring that judgment is going to come. He declared that because of Israel's sin, because of her idolatry, because of Israel's pride, she would not repent. And because of Israel's judgment, she's not going to have any rain, not going to have any dew. Because of all of these things that Elijah declared to King Ahab, you can certainly understand his message was not appreciated. It was not a message that would be considered popular in that culture. Wouldn't be considered popular in our culture either. You want to get people upset? Start talking about the judgment of God. They get upset real fast. And so Elijah was a man who came on the scene declaring a message. And Elijah then, because of the judgments that has been prepared or has been declared, Elijah then was sent. He was sent by God to a place of safety. The Bible tells us there in chapter 17, verse 2, verse number 3, that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself." In other words, the idea there is to be hidden from view, to be totally concealed. "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan. And there was more than Elijah's personal safety involved here. There was more than Elijah's personal safety. You see, before he could take on the full ministry that God had for him, there were some lessons Elijah needed to learn. Some lessons that he needed to understand before he could take on the full load of ministry that God was calling him to. And so because of that, God called Elijah, because of the judgments that are coming, God says, "Now Elijah, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to hide yourself there." And it's in that place by the brook that Elijah attended what we could call Cherith University. He's going to go to school. And God's going to teach him some things there by the brook Cherith. And so there's three lessons that Elijah needed to learn as he is hiding there by the brook Cherith. And it's these three things that we want to notice together. Number one, Elijah needed to learn how to take one step at a time. He had to learn how to take one step at a time. As we consider this lesson, two points that we ought to mention. First of all, notice letter A, the command that was given in verse number 3. "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan. So the command was very simple. Elijah, here's where I want you to go. You go to this place. Go there. Brook Cherith. Near to Jordan. So on the east side, you go there. That's the command. Now I want you to notice the explanation. The explanation. Do you see it there? There's nothing there. That's because there is no explanation. There is no explanation. Elijah did not know how long he's going to be there. Elijah did not know what's going to come next. God simply said, "Elijah, here's the place, go. You just go." You see, God wanted Elijah to learn to follow Him one step at a time. One step at a time. By the way, the same thing is true with us. Many times in our own lives, we sense that God is speaking to our heart by His Holy Spirit through the ministry of the Word, and we sense that He is saying to us, I want you to follow me. I want you to take this step. I want you to take this direction in your life. I want you to make these choices, these priorities. I want you to follow me. And just like Elijah, many times we do not know, do we? We don't know where this is going to lead. We don't know what's going to come next. All we know is God is leading in our heart, and He seems to be leading us in this direction, but we don't know what's going to come next. We don't know what the next step is going to be. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And so that is something that is totally contrary to our human nature. We always want to know. God says, here's a step, take it. And we always want to, and then? And what's next? And where is this going to go? And how long is it going to take? And we have all these questions that we want to ask God, but we need to understand that that's never the way God works. God says, this is the step I want you to take. Now follow me. We say, Lord, what's the next step going to be? Don't you worry about that. You follow me. You follow me. That's why the Christian life, it's described for us in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, with these words, we walk by sight, not by faith. Is that what it says? No. No, we walk by faith. What does that mean? That simply means a lot of times you're not going to see which way God is leading. You're not going to see the end of the road. You have to learn to walk by faith. And not trusting in sight. Walking with God one step at a time is a walk of faith. That's what God desires for each one of us, to learn to follow Him by faith. One step at a time. We take the step, God says, okay, very good. Now take another one. Okay, yeah, that's good too. Now take another one. Okay, that's good too. And step by step by step, we follow God. Why is that so important? Well, here's the reason why. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. See? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Before God could use Elijah in a mighty way, Elijah had to go to the brook Cherith. And there by the brook Cherith, he had to learn to walk with God one step at a time. Just one step at a time. There's a second thing he had to learn there. And that is this, the value of the hidden life. The value of the hidden life. Get thee, verse number 3, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now please understand, there was more involved here than merely hiding Elijah from the wrath of King Ahab. There was more involved than that. Before Elijah could be used by God in a mighty way, he needed to spend time alone with God. He needed to spend time alone with God. And so God put him in this secret place. He hid him away from all the distractions that would disturb him, away from all the things that would interfere with his focusing on the Lord. God took Elijah, hid him in a place where it would just be God and Elijah. The hidden place. The hidden place. You study the Scriptures, you'll find that every man who has ever been greatly used by God, every man who has been greatly used by God was a man who first spent much time alone with God. Moses. Remember the story of Moses? Spent 40 years in the wilderness. Just time alone with God. Spent 40 years in the wilderness before he ever had a Mount Sinai experience. Right? 40 years preparing. David spent his youth out watching his father's sheep, laying under the stars, looking up at the stars, meditating on the greatness of God. Years he invested watching his dad's sheep before he was ever called to be the king of a kingdom. Think about the Apostle Paul. 3 years he spent in the wilderness in Arabia learning the things that God would have him to learn before he ever went out and started preaching and carrying on the great ministry that he had. And this is not just something we find in the Bible. This is not something we just find in the Scriptures. I one of the things I enjoy doing is reading the biographies and the stories of great men who have been used of God. I've read the stories, for example, of men like Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the reformer, was once asked about his schedule. Here's his answer. He said, "I have so much to do that I will never get it done unless I spend at least 3 hours in prayer." Doesn't sound like our way of scheduling our day, does it? That doesn't sound like the priorities we have in our scheduling. He said, if I'm going to get all this work done, I'm going to not skip prayer. I got to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. At least 3 hours. John Praying Hyde. My goodness, what a great book. If you've never read it, you ought to get his book. He was a missionary to India. He was called Praying Hyde because he spent so much time in prayer. In fact, he spent so much time in prayer that all of his fellow missionaries thought he was lazy. But in the end of their lives, when ministries were compared, guess whose ministry ranked way above all the rest? It was the one who spent the most time in prayer. That's who it was. Praying John Hyde. I've read about David Brainerd, missionary to the American Indians, would literally spend hours every day walking through the forest praying for God's power and God's blessings to be on his life and on his ministry as he sought to win people to Christ. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Those who were used the most by God were those who were willing to spend the most time with God in the secret, hidden place of prayer. That was the lesson Elijah needed to learn. And so before he ever had a great ministry, God moved Elijah to the brook Cherith. Hid him away. By the way, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. You see, the secret to seeing God work in a mighty way in our lives individually, in our church collectively, the way to see God working in a mighty way, it's found in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest," turn on the TV, turn up the CD, you enter into thy closet, and when thou prayest, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Elijah hid by Cherith, and then he saw God's power begin to work in a mighty way. And when we hide in the secret place of prayer, that's when we're going to know God's power in our lives as well. A fellow by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer made a statement. Here's what he said. He said, "The acquisition of spiritual power is impossible unless we can hide ourselves from men and from ourselves." You understand what he's talking about there? Have you ever gotten down to pray, and in the middle of your prayer, all of a sudden you start thinking about that, and you're wondering, where did that come from? Sometimes we have to not only hide ourselves from other people, we have to hide ourselves from ourselves. We have to hide ourselves. And so he said, "The acquisition of spiritual power is impossible unless we can hide ourselves from men and from ourselves, where we may absorb the power of the eternal God." This hiding away with God, it's called many things today. Some people call it quiet time. Some people call it personal devotions. Some people call it prayer time. Some people call it Bible study. I really don't care what you call it, folks. We need to do it. That's the point. we need to do it. The Lord God would never be able to use Elijah in a mighty way until he came to understand the importance and the value of the hidden life. And the very same thing is true for each one of us as well. There's a third thing that I want you to notice, and that is this. Elijah had to go to the brook Cherith in order that he might learn, number three, to trust God completely. To trust God completely. Elijah had delivered the message of impending judgment. He had declared to King Ahab, there's not going to be any rain, not going to be any dew in the land. He's given the message to the king. And of course, the natural implication of the message would also affect him. Right? I mean, if there's no rain in the land, there's no dew in the land, and he's in the land, then he's going to be affected by the judgment. So what that meant was, there's going to be a drought. There's not going to be any water to drink. And because there's going to be a drought, the natural result of that is, there's going to be a famine. And there's not going to be any food to eat. Okay? So there's not going to be any water, not going to be any food. But I want you to notice three things that we find in the text. First of all, we find God's promise. God's promise. God said this. He said, and it shall be. Okay, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, but it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The Lord God promised to supply Elijah's needs. But did you notice the condition to the provision? Did you notice the condition to it? Oh, there is a condition there. There is a condition. And the condition was simply dependent on Elijah being... Where'd he go? There. That was the condition. If he was anywhere else, God's provision would not be there. God's provision was only available as long as he was there. See? As long as he was there. By the way, we have the same promise, do we not? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom of God, that means seeking salvation, because being born again is what brings us into God's kingdom. John 3:3. And so we're to seek first the salvation of our soul. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. And then after we're saved, we are to seek His righteousness, which is Christ-likeness. To be like Christ. So we're to seek first the kingdom of God, and then His righteousness, and then notice the promise. And all these things. Now if you go back and look at the context, you'll realize that all of these things does not mean everything you want. It doesn't say color TV in there. Or new house or new car or any of those other things. See, that's not in there. You go back and look in the context, all of these things, it's talking about all the necessities of life. And when we seek God first, and we seek His kingdom, and we seek His righteousness, and we make that to be the priority of our life, as long as we are doing that, just like Elijah was promised water to drink and food to eat, we are promised the necessities of life will be provided for us. Now that's God's promise. That's God's promise. And because Elijah trusted God, and because Elijah believed the promise of God, verse number 5 says that he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And so we see, first of all, we see God's promise. Now I want you to notice letter B, God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, verse number 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. He drank of the brook. While he was by the brook, twice a day, birds would fly in, fresh food. I guess that was the first airlift or whatever. Anyway, they would fly in the food and the water was there in the brook. And see, it was during that time, Elijah was learning a very important lesson. You know what he was learning? He was learning, my God is dependable. How about yours? Is your God dependable? Have you ever tested Him? Have you ever checked Him out by faith? Have you ever trusted to see if He would do what He said? See, Elijah had to learn these things. He had to learn that God is dependable. In other words, he had to learn how to say, as King Solomon said back in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel," notice it, "according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant." And so when Elijah went to Cherith University, he had to learn that God is absolutely reliable. What God promises, that's exactly what God is going to do. That's exactly what He's going to do. But here's a part that we don't like. Every school, including Cherith University, had examinations. Now, we've got some students that are doing their PSLE now. And they'll tell you all about the examinations, right? I don't know if it's more stressful for them or the parents. But anyway, it's a big deal. And so, examination, very important part of education. And there was an examination that Elijah was going to have to face. There was an examination. And so, notice letter C, God's testing. God's testing. Verse number 7, "It came to pass after a while." Now, we don't know how long that was. We don't know whether it was months or just weeks. We just really don't know. But after a while, the Bible says, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. In other words, Elijah went out that morning as per normal, expecting bread and meat to be flown in, expecting to brush his teeth by the brook and get a good drink of water. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. Testing time. Examination time. See? Oh, it's easy to have faith in God, isn't it? When the birds are flying in and the water's babbling in the brook. And it's easy to have faith in God then, but what about when your brook dries up? What about when all those things that you have been experiencing up until now, all of a sudden that's all changed? The dynamic is different, you see. Why did God allow that to happen? Why did God allow that to happen? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. First of all, Elijah needed to learn. He needed to learn to trust God even when the circumstances look grim. He needed to learn to trust God even when things weren't looking so wonderful. He needed to learn to trust God then. And not only that, Elijah needed to learn to depend on the person of God, not to depend on the gift and the provision of God. See, there's a big difference there, isn't there? There's a big difference there. So many times we are guilty of this very thing where instead of depending on God, looking to God, we begin looking to the things God has given to us. God gives us a good job, right? Gives us a good job, we're making a lot of money, and so what happens is before long, we begin to depend on the job to supply our needs instead of depending on God. See, our whole focus gets messed up. Whole focus gets messed up. And that's why many believers, they don't mind putting their job ahead of God. Their job now has a number one priority in their life because they're not trusting in God so much. They're trusting in the job that God gave to them. In other words, instead of focusing on God, they focus on the blessings that God has given to them. And when you begin to focus on the blessings God gives, eventually, you're going to lose your fellowship with God and you will eventually lose the blessings. Something to think about. Something to think about. How sad it is when we begin to think more of the blessings of God than the God who gave the blessing. And because of that, there are times in our lives when God is going to allow our brook to dry up. The thing that we're trusting in, the thing we're depending on, God's going to take it away. God's going to take it away. Because He wants our priorities to be right. See? Those are the things Elijah had to learn by the brook Cherith. Those are the things that he had to go to school to learn. And so God sent Elijah to Cherith University because there were some lessons there that he needed to learn before he could be mightily used by God. He had to learn to take one step at a time. He had to learn the value of the hidden life, spending time alone with God. He had to learn to trust God completely, even though the circumstances seemed to be totally against him. May God help us to learn those same lessons so that we might be used of God. So that we might be used of God in a greater way. That God might truly be honored and glorified in our lives. Cherith University. Have you been there? Let's pass the test, okay? Let's pass the exam. Heavenly Father, we thank You.